Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. I invite you, if you have a pen or a pencil, or if there's one in the pew in front of you, to take it and write your name on the bulletin. Yeah, you can write on the bulletin. It's okay. Or if there's another piece of paper there, an envelope or, a card, a prayer card, write your name down. You're shy? Got an example for you. 1776. Know what this document is? Declaration of Independence. This guy, John Hancock, wrote his name right here. Oops. Right there. You know why he wrote it so big? I think he did. So King George could see it without his glasses on. So write your name as big as you like, okay? We're going to take a look at that as we think during the sermon about your name as it's written down. I'll ask you to take a look at it from time to time. Have you ever seen your name written on a list? Maybe you look for your name on a list of donors to, I don't know, Buffalo Symphony Orchestra or Habitat for Humanity or some school that you know about or participated in. Have you ever had your name written on a list of donations in memory of a loved one or in celebration of an anniversary? Maybe your name is on the list of those getting a second interview for a job or a college application or something like that. Well, if you wrote your name down, take a look at it now. Did you write it on the back of the bulletin or on the envelope or on a card or on something else? You see, it matters what your name is written on. John Hancock knew having his name written on this meant he might be killed. It matters where your name is. If you go to the dry cleaners and you have your name written on a little ticket, they'll give you your dry cleaning. It's a good thing. If the policeman stops you and writes your name down on a speeding ticket, not so good. It matters where your name is written and who writes it. You'd rather see your name written on the honor roll at school than on the detention list. You'd rather write your own name on the signing your name on the check at the restaurant with your friends and family than writing your name on the credit card bill when that comes due. You'd rather see your name on a legal deed to your own property rather than as a defendant in a lawsuit. Perhaps you'd rather see your name on a marriage license than on divorce papers. It matters where your name is written and by whom. Jesus Christ wrote his name on you in baptism, in holy baptism. He wrote his name on your forehead and on your heart, saying that you've been redeemed by him. It's like a permanent tattoo that's there all of your life and into the next life. Only thing is, God's the only one that can see it right now. And when the pastor pours the water on you and says, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, your name is not just written there, but your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life by Jesus Christ himself, in his own blood that he spilled on the cross for you and me. That's where your name is written. That's what Jesus means here when he says, rejoice, your names are written in heaven. Your names are written in the Book of Life, the Lamb's Book of Life, a book of eternal life. But that's not the end of the story, as I think you all know, because there's another player in this game, and our text talks about him too. Satan wants your name written on a different certificate. Not a birth certificate or a baptismal certificate. He wants your name written on that death certificate. An eternal death certificate. Between now and then, he wants you to suffer. He wants you to blame God for your suffering. Anything he can do to separate you from Christ. So suffering, blame God. That's what he tells you. Or he'll tempt you. He will tempt you to look somewhere else for your relief. Look anywhere in the world for your relief. Maybe you'll find it in a bottle. Maybe you'll find it in some pleasure or in money. Maybe that will give you relief. Anywhere but Jesus. He wants to pull you away from him. He wants to tempt you into sin. And when you do sin, then he accuses you. He's got you then. He wants to make God the Father look unfair and judgmental. Make the church look that way too, because that's where Jesus is found. Yes, he wants God to look unfaithful. He wants God to look hard and mean to you. So that's why he brings out another place with your name written on it. He wants you to look at a gravestone. A big, heavy, gray gravestone with your name on it. And say, look what God's going to do to you. God's going to get you for that. That's what Satan wants for you. Where is Christ in that? You don't see it. He doesn't want you to see it. Well, I don't know about you. Have you ever come home tired from work or from school? And your wife or your spouse has a honey-do list for you? Or maybe your mom or your dad. Here's all the things I'd like you to do now that you're home. And you're tired. You just sigh. Okay. And you're tempted then to say something sarcastic. You're tempted to say something against that person who loves you, but just wants some help. You're tempted to be drawn away from him. How about this? Have you ever spent a whole day with your kids? And they, at certain times, just know the perfect thing to say to one another just to get the other's goat. Well, they know exactly what that one thing is. Well, that's Satan at work. But how about you? Were you tempted to say something overly harsh to them? Or have you ever looked with envy at something that you couldn't afford, you just didn't have the money for? But it was calling your name. Jeff, you got to buy me. Just, Jeff, you need this. I know you don't have the money. Buy me anyway. And that credit card of yours is just burning a hole in your pocket. Were you tempted? Even though you knew you shouldn't? Satan's temptations are all around us. Satan wants to see your name written on that sin, and then guess what? He wants to wave it in front of everyone you love and respect. He wants you to resent that God calls that a sin. How dare you, God? How dare you name my sin? How dare you, God, put my name on a death certificate? You see, Satan wants your name on that gravestone. He wants you fixated on that. Why? So that you forget your baptism, where your name really is. So you forget that Jesus' name is on your forehead and on your heart. But through baptism, through the waters and the promise of baptism, every time Satan, the accuser, waves that guilt in front of you, he waves that death certificate in front of your nose, you can tell him this. You can tell him, you admit it. I admit it. I'm a sinner. I've confessed to God, God the Father, and God forgives it. Take that, Satan. Take that to the bank. Leave me alone, Satan. For I am washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's nothing you can do about it. And the power of Jesus' blood, your power, Satan, is gone. You can chase the accuser away in the power of your baptism. We say in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's the power that we have over Satan and his demons in this world. Now, Satan's not going to just give up. He was cast out of heaven. So see, Satan keeps coming after you and me, always trying to find a way to tempt you, something with which to accuse you. But your baptism is a continually flowing fountain of God's forgiveness in Jesus Christ. So whenever Satan wants to wave that death certificate in front of your nose, you can grab it and dunk it in your baptism and drown it in the power of eternal life that is given to you in your baptism. Did you know you start living eternally in your baptism? And this gravestone is temporary. It's going away. But your life is not. Your baptism is not. God's love given to you and written in His name on your forehead and on your heart, it ain't going away. It's there eternally. Christ gives you a certificate of life. When we're tempted by Satan in this world, by the agents of Satan, the name of Jesus is what drives him away. Jesus Christ. So maybe if you're tempted to say something harsh to your spouse or to your kids or to your parents, stop when you remember that they are a gift from God. And if you're worried about having enough money, say a prayer before a meal and think about how God indeed provides your daily bread. That's a victory over Satan. And maybe if you're going to click on something on the internet that you know that you shouldn't, perhaps God sends a person or an angel to interrupt you and take you away from temptation. That too is a victory over Satan. In our text today, we see the return of these 72. They're 72 ordinary people, fishermen, carpenters, husbands and wives, mothers, daughters, sons and brothers, ordinary people like you and me. These 72 that Jesus sent out, two by two, to tell the world that the kingdom of God is near. That the power of God is invading this world of darkness and sin that Satan seems to have control over. And you and I are the foot soldiers, the ones who are declaring our independence from Satan, our independence from his tyranny over us, tyranny of sin and death and accusation and guilt. How? Through Jesus Christ. So maybe some days, when you have those little victories, rejoice in them, yes. Rejoice in them. That's how the 72 felt when they came back after casting out these demons. Now this week, in fact yesterday, I was walking around in the backyard checking on my trees, and this little serpent, little snake about that, garter snake, about that long, just skittered away from me, you know? I wasn't thinking about this particular verse about the scorpions and the serpents and scorpions being subject to you. I suppose I almost treaded on him, but and he didn't say, don't tread on me. But it reminds you that you do have authority in this world that God gives you. Authority that comes from his holy word. Authority that comes in the name of Jesus, whose name is written on your head and on your heart. So look at your name there that you wrote down. That's the name that's written in the book of life. That name is written there forever. Now you may throw this paper away when you leave. That's fine. It's never thrown away in heaven. It's waiting for you. It's waiting for you. Maybe you know someone who's there, whose name has already been written there. I want to tell you the story of my late grandmother, Agnes. Agnes was born and baptized in 1912, 104 years ago. For almost 99 years, she lived in this little farming community in Ottertail County, Minnesota, northwest Minnesota. I can still see her strawberry blonde hair as she behind the counter or in her kitchen. You know, that my grandparents had this kitchen with like a little bar area, I guess you'd call it a bar, where you'd sit down and have breakfast with these, I think there were three stools that would spin, you know, and as kids we just loved just seeing how fast they could go. Well, we would sit down there and she would serve us breakfast or lunch or dinner or just about any time you came into her house. She would say, let me get you a little lunch. Let me get you a little lunch. A little lunch. She had the gift of hospitality. But on her wall in their home, she had her baptismal certificate with her confirmation verse written on it. It's from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And God strengthened Agnes. He strengthened her and kept her through the scarcity of wartime. Through the scarcity and desolation of the Depression, the Great Depression. Through the droughts that they had in western Minnesota. As a farmer and a farming family, you don't know what's going to happen, you know, if you can't raise your crops. God brought her through raising a son and three daughters. God upheld Agnes through the deaths of her parents and her siblings. And her husband, and her son. God was there, strengthening her with His promise. And through breast cancer, God was there for her, upholding her with His righteous right arm. And now Agnes awaits God's promises that come at the end of the book of Isaiah. Chapter 66, as we heard earlier. Maybe you know someone whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, awaiting these promises. Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. As the new heavens and the new earth that I make will endure before me, declares the Lord. Listen to this, and look at your name that you wrote down. Listen to this. So will your name and your descendants endure. That's a promise for eternity in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now my grandmother Agnes, and maybe the person that you're thinking about, rests in Jesus' arms, awaiting God's creation of the new heavens and the new earth. Know this. When Jesus raises Agnes's body from the ground to the new earth, all the accusations that she faced in her life are going to be forgotten, wiped away and forgotten. Satan will be put in his place for the last time. But the name on her baptismal certificate, Agnes Hulda Amelia Richter, that name will endure forever with God Almighty. And just like Agnes, through your baptism, your name is written in heaven too. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Take another look at your name, for it has been written and now stands written forever in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name is written by God, an engraved invitation to the new creation. You too will be with Jesus in paradise, just as He promised. And not just for a little while, not just for this lifetime, but forever. So rejoice with all the angels. Your name is written in heaven. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds into eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.